Hi everyone, before we start the show, I wanted to let you know about two important things you can do on Fierce 5. If you click the link where you found this podcast, you'll be able to join our LinkedIn group where we talk about all things Fierce and download free resources that you can take and use with your teams and work colleagues. On with the show. Technology here. I mean,
your mic sounds very professional, Jeff. I have to say, it's good.
Yeah, I'm able to do lots of different things. Maybe I can, you know, come over sometime and help you with your own setup there, because I know that you have a bunch of wires sitting around your desk and three or four monitors.
One step at a time, Jeff.
Yeah. Hi everyone, it's Jeff back with another episode of Fierce 5. I'm joined here by Bob Dignan. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Jeff. Nice to be back.
Nice to have you. And Bob, we also have another caller on the line. Sure. Someone we both know well. We've worked together. Dale Coulter. Dale, you there?
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for inviting me. It's great to be here.
Great to be here as well with you, of course. And maybe for our audience, Dale, you can just tell us who you are.
Yeah, sure. Well, my name is Dale Coulter, and I'm a team and leadership trainer with International Leadership Performance, ILP. And the main scope of what I do is to help international teams communicate and collaborate more effectively. And I guess I ask myself kind of, why is this so important? These two things, you know, they lead to better results and better performance.
So Dale, Bob, it sounds like we have the right guy on the line, actually.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good invite, Jeff. Well done.
So Dale, what are you seeing as some of the biggest challenges of working internationally?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. So what a lot of people have been telling me is that it's really quite challenging to build relationships with people who you don't really know that well, and you have little time to get to know them. It's almost like you're trying to build a relationship with a stranger and that you're working with strangers. Frequently, people tell me that as one of the core challenges of when they're working in international teams, so across borders with dispersed or fragmented teams.
Can you tell me a little bit more about how people are dealing with that challenge?
Well, some really great suggestions that people I work with have come up with are to circulate CVs maybe before working together, so you get a good background of the person, their competence, their track record. To have a plan for when you're networking and relationship building, even something as small as checking somebody's profile in advance and thinking about the person you're going to meet. Or just very simply, the thing you can go out and do right now is to just show more curiosity, to ask more questions, to ask more open questions, to find out more information about the people that you interface with.
Yeah. Bob and I have been talking about that, getting curious with our teams. I'm wondering, how are people actually dealing with raising that level of curiosity?
Well, sometimes people say to me, I don't have time for relationship building. Yeah. I only have time to do my work, and I've got not enough time to do that anyway. So how can I make time for that relationship building? Or even if it's valuable in the first place. So they're kind of that more results-oriented person. It's kind of an investment, so that investment into the relationship at the start is going to pay efficiency gains further down the line, with, you know, greater understanding, fewer misunderstandings, and much more alignment.
Yeah, it's interesting, just to pick up on a couple of things that Dale was saying. I think on the relationship side, if at the end of the day relationships are driving towards a position of trust, hopefully. And I think, again, that circulation of CVs that Dale referred to, I think that's good. I mean, that makes the professional competence of the person visible to everybody in the team. And I think that builds confidence that the guy will deliver. What CVs don't do so well is build up the emotional capital in the team. That's right. I think that's another critical dimension of trust. You know, we trust people who care about us. So I think that's another thing that teams need to consider, virtual teams, virtual leaders. How can we build this sense of caring when we're working with people remotely? Dale, do you see that as an issue, that kind of emotion, the emotional side as well?
it's that intimacy side. A lot of people have been telling me that the trust in certain other areas, so let's say, you know, showing people what you're good at, making good on your promises, these things have functioned very well as we've moved over to a lot more virtual work. But that kind of intimacy building, that kind of care building, that's something that people are still trying to work out. And sometimes we've been replacing previous moments, like coffee moments, like lunches together. But I get the feeling that we're still looking for a suitable replacement or a reimagining of how we build that. So I see that as one of the core challenges, that final bit, that intimacy building, that creation of a psychological safe space with others.
It's interesting, Jeff. I think COVID-19, the coronavirus, has actually given us a window on the solution here, because pushing everybody to remote, people, I think, discovered that the solution to maintain team cohesion are regular micro team builds. Maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks, you get in front of the computer, your cup of coffee, even glasses of wine with some people. And I think that's been a huge lesson about how to maintain the emotional spirit in the team, which then drives performance. Just do every week, every couple of weeks, just a very small team build. And maybe we've seen the end of team building as an event. Maybe now it just becomes a continuous process.
Yeah, I found that all really surprising. All of these informal meetups happening online. Dale said a moment ago that the effort to gain intimacy among individuals is struggling. Maybe, but the meetups I'm seeing are happening independent of team leads, and they've kind of taken a life of their own. You know, they're happening all the time. So that says something about people and their need or desire to connect. So as you say, Bob, some of those larger team events might not happen as often as they used to, but whether they are macro or micro team events, some kind of rapport building channel needs to be there, that's for certain.
Well, I think the interesting thing about the move to remote in COVID-19 is from a change perspective, it's been a compliance. We've been forced to comply with this move. We haven't had a choice. Where the interesting challenge is going to come, and I think the team is going to play a much greater role, is the move over to a hybrid. Because now we're not looking at so much a forced compliance of working remote. We're looking at much more kind of a co-created, people-driven movement to what the new working reality is going to be for a lot of people. And there, I think there's going to be much more. There's going to be much more driving on the part of teams, and much more figuring out what it is that we need to be doing, how we need to be doing it, just in terms of, let's say, what types of work we're doing, when we're meeting, what the purpose of our meeting is, and what we don't need to do face-to-face, what we can do virtually or remotely. So it's a really interesting shift.
Yeah, and it was interesting, kind of, Dale, you were stimulating in me thoughts. I mean, we, in our training and in the coaching, we make people aware sometimes of the uncomfortable prejudices that they bring to the table with respect to others' definitions of leadership and team. And going back to the hybrid, I mean, a lot of people are talking about hybrid now as going back to the perfect state, kind of a recalibrated remote and present kind of organization. I was just stimulated. I wonder whether we'll actually see the rise of a new source of conflict, a new source of prejudice between those who like to be present, who like to be co-located. That for them is a form of commitment to the organization. It's a belief about how best to collaborate, against those who like to work remotely, who believe that that's the best way to contribute to an organization, partly in isolation, contributing when you need to. And it could be that a new hybrid is created, but new forms of prejudice are created. And I think that, again, brings us back to quite intensive talks about collaboration, communication, because I don't think we can assume that the new hybrid will be bought into by everybody equally, actually.
Well, firstly, my hybrid, Bob, might be different from your hybrid.
Absolutely,
your hybrid,
yeah.
Might be different from Jeff's.
Exactly, hybrid. Yeah.
And what I'm seeing is, you know, the initial reaction of people when we talk about hybrid, some people, there's almost like a grieving process for this remote time when we all worked. So, you know, they're in their view of things, they worked so efficiently, and other people who are seeing this move over to a hybrid as, you know, going back to, as you said, the perfect state. So even this kind of these two small perception differences. It's going to cause it's going to cause relationship strain within teams.
Exactly. Maybe even forms of jealousy between those who can work remotely and those who can't for particular personal circumstances. And it's interesting, this word hybrid, I don't know if in English it has a pejorative, it has a negative touch. It's almost below the perfect. It's almost a compromise solution. I'm wondering whether and we need to create a slightly new vocabulary, a more positive vocabulary for this, for whatever it is we're talking about, a kind of a compromise, a new normal.
And, you know, that's interesting. You say whatever it is we're talking about, because I think right now so many teams are at that point that actually we don't know what it is that we're talking about. Mm. We can't focus on the gritty details of what hybrid will be before we can actually understand what this concept even is together.
Mm. So I think one of the biggest risks currently particularly to international dispersed teams is they need to figure out this model quickly. It doesn't have to be a final model. I think one of the lessons again of COVID is set a goal, do it for a week, come back to it, reiterate, a bit of an agile model. And I think teams need to at least commit to a model, try it, and then optimize the model. That's quite difficult, though, because I think what I see a lot of teams do is that they fix something and then they kind of leave it and don't come back to it because they're not used to communicating about communication. So, again, it comes back to what you were saying, Dale. I think this communicating about how we're going to do things is even more important now, or it can lead to quite serious disconnects.
Thanks a lot, Dale, for joining us.
A pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me.
And Bob, good talking to you as well.
As always, Jeff, good to talk.
Hey, Bob, speaking of feedback, what do you think?
Yeah.
Well, did you like my questions?
Yeah, the questions were very good, Jeff. Yeah.
I sensed a bit of a delay there.
No, honestly, they were mostly good, Jeff. That's good feedback, I think.